must travel. It's end I cannot see. And so tonight I walk in anger with worn shoes on my feet. And the road I must travel, it's end I cannot see. And I will sing to myself that I'm gonna be free. But the road I must travel, yeah, it's end I cannot see.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Arun Gupta, who is the founding editor of the New York-based Independent newspaper. He is writing a book on the decline of the American empire and is in New York City's Zuccotti Park celebrating the first anniversary of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Welcome to Background Briefing, Arun Gupta.
Great to be with you, Ian.
And tell me about what's surrounding you and what's going on in the park at the moment.
Well, I'm standing on the edge of Zuccotti Park. On one end is a very loud and vibrant drum circle. On the other end, as someone described it to me, is an assembly, a general assembly that can barely hear itself. And in between, and there's probably about 1,000 people or more total, are all sorts of conversations, meetings. It's essentially a really wonderful atmosphere. It's very fun. It's celebratory. It is also deadly serious. There's been around 200 arrests today. But judging by what I'm seeing, you know, there's still a tremendous amount of energy that the Occupy Wall Street movement can inspire and bring out.
So the movement itself started a year ago after the 9/11 10th anniversary was over with, and it sort of gravitated to Zuccotti Park somewhat randomly, did it not? And it seemed to be that the inciting incident was when the police pepper sprayed those young women, and that seemed to get a lot of people focused and to show up and to show support. So, just run through the genesis of the Occupy phenomenon, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, first there were actually all these other attempts at occupation, and I mean, this was something that was going on the whole spring of 2011. There was a large student and labor marches in May in the financial district where they were having actual teach outs and taking corners. Then in June was a Bloomberg bill where they did students and community groups did this small 3-week occupation on the sidewalk near City Hall that was focused over budget cuts. There was an attempt by another group to do an occupation down in Wall Street in June, you know, but so it was really in the air. And then there were all these different call-outs that were coming from International Day of Rage and Anonymous and most prominently Adbusters. And, you know, maybe up to about 2,000 people gathered on September 17th. There had been over a month of pre-meetings. And they had actually, the first few spots that they had planned to occupy had been sealed off by the police. And I think Zuccotti was like number 4 or 5 on the list. So they came here, and it was also the first night, interesting enough. The police surrounded it and said they didn't care. There was a judge's order that had allowed things like Bloomberg will, where it was ruled that sleeping outside was a constitutionally protected form of protest. And the cops were like, we don't care. And they had surrounded the park. But basically what happened on the orders from the brass, they decided, well, we're not going to provoke a confrontation. It's probably just a bunch of hippie kids who'll disappear in a few days. But it just kept growing. And of course, there is the September 24th, the pepper spray incident you're referring to. But a couple of days before that was also a very passionate march about Troy Davis, who was executed that week. And that brought a lot of energy into the movement. So that first Saturday when I came down, I was down here since the 17th. The Saturday after that, on the 24th, there was 1,000s of people. So it had grown considerably before the first pepper spray incident. But then after that, after the Brooklyn Bridge, the 700 arrests on October 1st, the rest is history.
So, Arun Gupta again in Zuccotti Park on the first anniversary of the founding of the Occupy Wall Street movement. A lot of political commentators have suggested that the movement has fizzled and become somewhat irrelevant. What's your reading on where things stand?
Well, look, I mean, the thing is, I was asked that by some European media. They're like, you know, is it the movement like pretty much vanished, or is just weak compared to a year ago? And I'm like, a year ago, nobody knew about Occupy Wall Street. Now it's a global name. You know, nobody was talking about the 99% or economic inequality, or the fact that the 1% use their economic power to control the political system. I mean, you know, Occupy changed all that. Is it the dramatic movement where you had hundreds of occupations, physical occupations around the U.S. Last October and November, and something like 1,000 around the world? No, of course not. It has diminished considerably. Many movements have fallen apart. I understand, you know, in many cities, they didn't really mark the day today. I, in fact, met a number of really good activists from Occupy LA who came all the way out to New York to celebrate the first anniversary. So, yeah, I mean, there are problems in terms of growth and development, but there's also just an incredible spirit. And I've talked to dozens of people all day who are just, everyone says it's better than they imagined. It's celebratory. It's hopeful. You know, the police response is pretty harsh. Snatching literally scores of people at random off the street. But it shows that, you know, this movement does have some real legs, and it is developing a lot of other projects, a lot of infrastructure, a lot of networks. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but, you know, nobody knew what was going to happen a year ago.
Well, I think there's no doubt, Arun Gupta, that until last year, the mainstream political discourse didn't really have any emphasis on some of the concerns, as such as rising income inequality, tax policies that favor the rich, and the reckless deregulation of Wall Street that resulted in the 2008 crisis, and in particular, the growing influence of large corporate interests in elections. Now, I think that, at least the last one, people are starting to wake up to that. I mean, it's how could you avoid it? I mean, it's so obvious. So in other words, the point I'm making is that everything that the Occupy Wall Street movement brought to the table is clear and present, and it has become the new discourse. And in short, they've been right about everything.
That's absolutely true. And it doesn't matter who's going to get into office. Look, we know that the Republicans are extremists and they're very dangerous. But there are plenty of dangers if the Democrats stay in the office as well. They've been implementing Wall Street's agenda for the last 4 years and will continue to do so. And, of course, it goes back much further than that. But also the Democrats, the Obama administration, is really looking to cut Social Security and Medicare because they're blaming those programs for the economic crisis that Wall Street caused and profited from in many different ways. So the discourse has changed. The system is as unresponsive as ever. The conditions are getting worse, and people are also losing more and more faith and believe that the political and economic system is responsive to their needs. So I think there will be more social explosions. We don't know what they're going to look like, but I think that's something very important to embrace because it's that uncertainty that's a strength.
Well, I think one of the differences, surely, though, between, in many ways, the Occupy movement was also inspired by the indignant ones, as they're called in Spain. But those protests tend to start in the spring and flourish in the summer. So it was very odd to start a protest in the fall as winter approached.
Yes, that is very true. There was the whole attempt to jumpstart the movement with the American Spring with May Day, and I was in New York for that, and it was really apart from the immigrant general strike in 2006. It was really the best May Day I've ever seen by far in New York City. But the expectations are now much higher. I think that's important to remember, right? There were no expectations on September 17, 2011. There were no expectations in Madison, Wisconsin in February of 2011. There were no expectations in Cairo in January of 2011 or Tunis in December of 2010. So I think the next movement will have to come from some place that no one really expects for it to be able to gather that head of steam before the state can come in and smash it, because they are very much committed to doing that. I was having a conversation with one activist who has a family friend who is NYPD, and the cop was explaining that the approach of the police is they want to prevent another Seattle. So if you have 20 people out there protesting in the streets, they'll surround it with 300 cops. They do not want another Seattle to happen. And in many ways, Occupy was another Seattle. And I'm sure they're still kicking themselves that they allowed it to get as far as it did.
Well, as you know, Arun Gupta, the enormous amounts of money being spent on this election, and one of the biggest groups that are advertising the fossil fuel industry, oil and gas. Chevron has an ad out with a couple of their employees saying, "Let's get real about our energy needs. We've got to drill, 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 and let's not succumb to rhetoric." And they show a picture of the Occupy movement. So. How does it feel being dismissed by corporate America as mere rhetoric?
Well, hey, they're just doing what the capitalists have always done to social movements, which is to ridicule them, to co-opt them, to try and even commodify them. Someone showed me a picture of a society sign right in the heart of the financial district of a advertisement that said, we're not the security force for everyone, just the 1% that matters. That's when you have like essentially a private security force, mercenaries advertising themselves to the 1%. We know what we're up against. But I think what's going on with the energy industry is very indicative. Just to get back quickly to the election and its relation to Occupy, one of the things that has really come out of Occupy is strengthened all these networks of direct action against natural gas fracking, against tar sands oil, against mountaintop coal removal. All of these existed, but Occupy has given it so much more life and activity and brought many more people into the movement. And so we have this great movement that's growing against an industry whose model is based on destroying the earth.
Well, Arun, we've run out of time, I'm afraid. I have to end it here, but I must point out that the oil and gas industry are putting all of their money into elect the Republicans, so at least they're taking a stance.
Well, Obama was drill, baby, drill was the point I was going to make. Right. If you look at his speech in Charlotte, and that's important to remember.
Well, Arun, I thank you so much, and let's check in with you tomorrow. If in fact you people try to occupy the square, I'd be interested to know whether they're allowed to do so tonight, and I'm sure there'll be some activity later. Thank you so much, Arun Gupta.
Thank you. great to be with you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Arun Gupta, founding editor of the New York-based independent newspaper, The Independent. He is writing a book on the decline of the American empire and is at New York's Zuccotti Park celebrating the first anniversary of the Occupy Wall Street movement. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking with a friend and colleague of the SEAL who was killed defending the U.S. ambassador in Libya.
The peddlers and the meddlers, they buy and they sell. They destroyed your city, they'll destroy you as well. The lecherous and treacherous, a hair meant for leather, each of them bigger than all men put together. Sluggers and muggers,